Good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name. Blessed by the service thus far. And I appreciated everything, but one of the things that I was pondering, I didn't contribute this morning in the Sunday school, but one of the things that I was pondering as I was sitting there is what Paul said in Acts 18, verse 9. He said, "The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, 'Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace.'" And I wonder how many of us have heard that call through the night. And when we are called to speak, hold not thy peace, but speak. I know I certainly have, and many times I didn't hearken to that voice calling me. And I think there are many more times that we can speak a word for the gospel. I know times are different now. When you go on an airplane, everybody has their earbuds in, and they don't want to communicate with you. They feel bothered by you witnessing to them. But there are still times and places where we can. I know a few times in the last while I have tried to do that in restaurants and so forth, and oftentimes get a positive response from people that have embraced witnessing, although they are different than we are. So next time the Lord tells you, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace," I encourage you to speak and engage people in their lives where they are at. I would like you to turn with me to the last book of the Old Testament this morning, in the last chapter. Malachi 4. Harry told me years ago that young preachers wonder what the next subject will be that they can preach on. And just they're grasping for subjects to preach on. And he said, old preachers will never be able to preach on all the subjects that they should preach on. And I guess I'm getting to that stage now where I'm an old preacher and there are a lot of subjects that we realize that we should preach on. And this morning is one of them. And when I was a young man, I got tired of preaching about homes and raising children and so forth. But I realized as I go along, as I get older, and I witness more church life, that I understand that the men of old, the old preachers, were right about their priorities in preaching on the message of the home. Now, I would like to just go over this fourth chapter just a little bit. We're going to use verse 6. The last verse of the Old Testament as our text for today. So reading now from Malachi 4, it says, "For behold, the day cometh, thou shalt burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall leave them neither root nor branch. What a dramatic message that is in the first verse. That the day is coming when judgment will be on this earth, and all the proud and all the wicked shall burn up like stubble, and they will be that heated fire that comes from straw, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, and they'll be gone. There won't be neither root nor branch left of them. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and shall grow up as calves in the stall. I believe this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, and he's called the Son of Righteousness. And the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth as a group, and grow up as calves in the stall. Calves in the stall, I believe this is referring to when you let the calves out of the stall, that they jump and run. Many of us have experienced that, that calves that are out of the stall, they are healed, they are healthy, and for the spring and the summer, they run around. And so they grow up as calves of the stall, but released from our prison. He shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your foot. In that day I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in the last paragraph here, he says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. You remember that Moses went up to Mount Horeb, is what it calls it here, and received the law, and it was direction for you. And I commanded unto him in Horeb and all Israel that this, with the statutes and judgments. I taught you, I directed you, I gave you a way to go. And you can go back to Deuteronomy and all that and read much of that. And it's profound. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. He was looking forward to the New Testament era, the time when hearts were transformed in the church and in the people of God. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. And then he says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, one of the evidences, we've been preaching a lot recently on justification and so forth, and the resulting lives that people live when they are justified, when they are transformed, when they are born again, is this. One of them is, we had looked at forgiveness the other Sunday, and then we looked at the world, and now another profound impact on people who are transformed, who are, is that their the heart of the fathers is turned or aligned with the children's heart, and the children's and the heart of the children to their fathers. And so this morning I would like to preach on that. The message is a man with a heart turned toward their children. And I went to look at this, and again, I probably won't have time to say everything that needs to be said, but nevertheless, I think it's important that we realize that the New Testament transformation, what is taught in the New Testament, looked forward to, prophesied in the New Testament, is how we relate to our children. And that is that we see a child's heart as someone that is seeking, that needs to be influenced by a father, by their leadership. Of course, their mothers too. But today, I would like to say that I want to focus on leadership and fathers, leadership in the home. It's so important. It's critical. As I go through church life and you deal with a lot of issues in churches and problems with people, many, many times, by far more times than not, when you're dealing with problems with people, you're finding somebody that grew up in a dysfunctional home. And so this morning I want to put a little bit of a nudge in. I realize that in 40 minutes or so I can't do everything that I need to, nor could I if I would have the time. But nevertheless, this verse is really an important verse. The children's hearts need to be turned to the fathers, and the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. I think it's really an important principle that we want to look at. So Mike, do a little commentary on verse 5. He said, I will send unto Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. It's speaking about John the Baptist here. And this verse, I believe, has reference to a John the Baptist or Elijah-like spirit, and it's not the literal Elijah didn't come back literally, like it says, like it sounds like here. But listen to this verse, Luke 1:17, and it's talking about John the Baptist, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist was preparing for Jesus to come, and that was his job. He was to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. And so, in essence, he is initiating the new covenant, the new transformation of the heart towards the different feeling towards everything that someone is born again. And one of the things is that his heart is turned towards his children. A person's heart. What does it mean to have a heart turned toward the children? They consider their child's needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, their physical needs, and that seems like the easy one. Easy one is providing for the child's physical needs, especially in our day. There is a curse coming when a society forsakes their children. There is a curse coming when a society forsakes their children. One of the signs of a man of God who has been justified is in their relationship with their children. It is very important, as the prophet Malachi looked forward to the New Testament, that the transformed heart would be a heart that would be turned toward the next generation. We will take a few principles from the Sermon on the Mount, just a few pages over in your Bible, which is the manifesto of the new covenant that Jesus taught and he wanted us to do. Just a few pages over, if you turn over to Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, is where we're going to get most of the principles for this morning's message. Number one point in the message today, though, is very simple. The world and church need men that take an active role in the people they are responsible for, and especially fathers with their children. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, and it was hard for me to believe this, but according to the U.S. Census Bureau in 2024, just last year, they have concluded that 17.6 million children, nearly one in four children, live without a biological step or adoptive father in their home. So one in four, as you meet people on the street, and children on the street, one in four of them do not have a father in the home. That's enough children to fill New York City twice or Los Angeles four times. And research shows that a father's absence affects children in numerous unfortunate ways. While a father's presence makes a positive difference in the life of both children and mothers. Now, that's just a father's presence, and it doesn't say anything about godly fathers, and we know that godly fathers have much more to do than that. And I apologize for maybe preaching this message. It's not Father's Day today, but I think it's so important that we understand our role as fathers. I have often said that next to salvation and the gospel itself effect on our lives, the Father's role is the most important dynamic in the person's life. And it is far more important than anything else. When they play with their children in the early years, can positively contribute to children's social, emotional, and cognitive outcomes. Get that. People can think better when fathers are around and talk and visit with their children. They contribute to a child's social life, emotional stability, and cognitive outcomes. Emotionally unavailable fathers have a negative impact on their children in many ways. Fathers often prioritize material things, other people, and their work over their children. They avoid emotional conversations with their children and do not facilitate a place for their children to discuss feelings. The important thing I'm talking about this morning, and that I want everyone to know, is that you, as a father, need to be the place where a child comes and talks about life. Talks about their problems, and talks about what about the future, and you know, they come to you, and what are you saying to your children? I have often been in interviews where, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm saintly or perfect in this, but I've often been in interviews with people that are becoming Christians and so forth, joining the church, and they are, it's obvious that they don't have a relationship with their parents. They don't have a relationship. They talk about things. They talk about physical things, but not about things that really affect people, how they feel, and emotional needs and spiritual needs and so forth. Let's bone up on this, fathers, and let's do this aggressively and kindly to our children, and we need to realize the special place that we have as fathers in molding a sound, emotional, spiritual lives and obedient lives in our churches for the kingdom of God's sake. We ignore our children through being so busy. And all our children get is leftover responses. After a hard day of work, you are emotionally exhausted. And all you have left is for your children is short responses to their needs. And I realize that we all are busy, and we need to, and some days we must in providing for our children, but nevertheless, we must realize that our children are our most precious possession. They are our greatest responsibility. It's not how you make your money or how much money you have or how many farms you acquire. It's by your responses to your children. After all, in 1,000 years from now or 100 years from now, where will your children be? They'll be somewhere unless the Lord comes. They'll be somewhere. And where will that shiny new tractor be, or that house be, or whatever? It'll be fading into nothingness and rusting away and molding away and so forth. But your children will be somewhere. And will they be headed the right direction? It's up to you, dear fathers. It's up to you. Secondly, this morning, I would like to jump over to Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And I would like to start this with Matthew 6:21. There could be plenty of verses. But I just decided to jump around in the Sermon on the Mount because it is what Jesus meant to be the manifesto for Christian living. And so let's go to Matthew 6:21. And the question, the point I have is for number two, is what are your real values? Someone, I think Caleb said in devotions this morning, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's the verse I have picked out for this point. What is your real treasure? That's the question I have for you. What is your real treasure. Your treasure will show where your heart is. What you value most is your treasure. What you talk about, what you spend your time on, where you invest your resources, that's your treasure. Is it the business? Is it your farm? Is it your hobby? Is it your deer hunting? Is it your collection? Your treasure will be what you talk about. That's where you make your deposits in your treasury. And so you can tell one church I went to a number of years ago, I preached a sermon and I didn't think it went all that well, and it must not have, because the first thing I heard after church was a man about halfway back through the audience. He says, did you get that tire fixed yesterday? And all that preaching I did for about 40 minutes, I said, I don't know how far that went. He didn't, you know. A tire getting fixed was more important than what I said that morning. Everyone has something he loves. Who is it? What is it? Your children? Or is it your farm? Where is your treasure? Your business? Or is it your favorite podcast? Or a thousand other things, and not turning your heart towards your children. Many of us are present fathers. We are present. We are present at the breakfast table. We are present at supper time. We can raise our hand and say we're present. But the challenge I'm going to leave you, are you present when your child needs to know something? Are you going to call, are you going to give them an answer? Are you building a relationship with your children? Or are you an absent father around your children when even you are present? What are your real values? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many times in this modern world, the term quality time is talked about, and I realize that quality time is very important with your children. But I'm asking you to spend quality time and quantities of time also. You must be present for your children. It's a moment. When you get to be 68 years old, you realize that you have your children for a moment. It is so soon that those little fellows that were following you around, I had two blonde-haired little fellows in my oldest children, and they followed me around. And when I was 26 years old, 27 years old, I thought that would be for a long time. And now I realize that that was just a moment. It was a long time ago in a very short time. You have this time to value your children, to put time and effort into them and influence them in a moment, in this moment. And if you have children on your lap, children under your care, treasure that. That should be your treasure, not something else. The question is what are your real values? Thirdly, are you passionate about the part of the kingdom you are part of? We all want to be part of the kingdom, don't we? And what does it mean to be part of the kingdom? Well, we know that when we're born again, we come into the kingdom of God, and we talk about that in broad terms. But I was impressed just recently as I read a book. It was by Charles Lehman on church membership. I don't even know who he was. He's some Protestant, but he believed in church membership. And he asked this question: what part of the kingdom are you passionate about, the part of the kingdom you are part of? And he made the point that we are part of the kingdom mostly because we are part of, in this building, we are part of the Mount Joy Mennonite Church. And I ask you the question, is your church important to you? You will not reach your children's hearts if you make fun and degrade your church in the presence of your children. Are you passionate about your church and about the church's applications to righteousness? Father, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We seek the kingdom of God, and often it means the local church. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, we're seek first the kingdom of God. We love King Jesus. We say. But you know, a kingdom is a lot about King Jesus. But a kingdom is a lot about the people that sit in the kingdom next to you in your church. They make up the school board, the ministry, the trustees, and those subjects of the king are all made up, and their last names are Weavers and Hursts and Nuance-Winters and so forth. They're people with imperfections. They're people that have been tainted by sin. Seek first the kingdom of God. Your children will tell it. They can tell it if you are seeking first the kingdom of God. How do they know it? What you say about the church. What you say about the school board. What you say about the trustees. Fathers will encourage their children to formally join and submit to the church, the kingdom of God. And every kingdom, no matter where you find it, has rules to abide by and you must submit to the rules. Are you a missing father when it comes to the kingdom, submitting to the kingdom in a formal way? When children are in their early adolescence and impressionable stage, 8 to 16, if you're talking degrading remarks about the church that you are part of, you are undermining your own credibility, and it will have an effect. It will have an effect on their lives when they turn 20 and beyond. Their decisions will be made from those impressionable stages. Are you passionate about your church and the kingdom that you are part of? We got to be passionately in love with it. My aunt is in a church not too far from here that has left the plain way and a lot of the passionate love for the kingdom. And they're just a bunch of, they're people, they love the Lord, I guess, and we should love them, but just a bunch of old people that are there anymore. Today, we must feel it's important to be passionately in love with the kingdom of God and the church we are part of. Are you passionate about the part of the kingdom you're part of? Number four, and I won't spend a lot of time on this because I preached on it the other Sunday about forgiveness. Number four, are you a man that has shown that you want to be reconciled to his brother? We have a sense of justice, we all do. And we know that injustice is served to us sometimes. How do we respond? It says in Matthew 5:23 that we are to, when we take our gift to the altar and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, we leave there thy gift on the altar and go thy way and be reconciled to thy brother. And then we come and offer the gift. We, our children, can tell through our expressions, our attitudes, our remarks. They will catch on to what we, how we feel about others in the church. And the Bible is complete. Go and be reconciled to thy brother if he hath aught against thee. Leave an example of forgiveness and reconciliation. We will need that. Eventually, children will come to their to a place of where they are experiencing, where they will need to be reconciled, and they'll look back at you, dads, and they'll say, this is how dad acted, and they'll make a determination about how they should act. Is it one of reconciliation, or is it one of judgment and justice and bad attitudes? Snide remarks on the way home with school children, way home from church. Are you a man that is willing to humble yourself and be reconciled to your brother? Number five, are you a man of integrity? Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Listen, yea, yea, and nay, nay. That's what we should be known by. We don't need a lot of gray areas. Our children don't need a lot of gray areas. It's either true or it's not. Truth cannot be two ways. Are you a man of integrity? Faithful to what you have promised? You promise your wife that you will be faithful in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity. Are you that man? When we join church, we promise to be faithful to the church. We promise to faithfully abide in the same until death. Are you a man of integrity that takes your calling seriously? You ministry, you have an added calling for integrity. We must have an integrity to what we have promised. When we are ordained, we're promised to be a man of integrity to this church. And it stares us in the face all the time. Are you a man of integrity? Your children can tell. A lot of these are incidentals. And they incidentally see your integrity. Will your hearts, the heart of your children, be turned toward you if you're not a man of integrity? Sixth and final point. Are you at rest? Are you a man that is at rest with God's plan for your life? Are you at rest with God's plan for your life? Does your life express it? Or is materialism and covetousness and your yearning for the next deal your life? A man that is at rest with God's plan will humbly realize that he can't control everything, and he might just be poor the rest of his life. He's satisfied with God's provision for him, and he follows along in the context of biblical obedience and biblical righteousness. He will not leave for the business seminar and travel to it on the Lord's day and be absent from worship. Never. A man that worships the American dream and I cannot be trusting the principle of allowing God to be in control. Take no thought It says in Matthew 6:25, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body and ye shall put on. It is not life more than meat and body more than raiment? That is so contrary to American prosperity that we trust God. Why do we have so much trouble with getting people to go to the prison to have a Bible study? Why do we have trouble with people going and getting them to go to outreaches? It's because they're worried about raiment. They're worried about things. Why do we have a problem believing that God will take care of us? When it says simply in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, that he takes care of the lily and clothes them. The sparrows are taken care of. That's the illustration. That's the comparison that we get. Men of God, your children will catch it, what you're worried about. Will you take a biblical path forward to people that are giving us, serving us injustice, and turn the other cheek? Go the second mile. Give to him that once it asketh thee. Love, will you practice love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy? That's what it said in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And pray for those that despitefully use you. Do your children hear you praying at the breakfast table for those who have wronged you? Serving in the kingdom. By the way, I think every young person should dedicate a year of their life to the kingdom of God. They don't have to make $3,000, $4,000 a month teaching school. They can donate it. They can give it. Serving the kingdom is hurt today. Because I can't serve in the lowly school teaching when I can make $30 an hour. I just can't do it. You know why they say that? Why children say that? Because they learned it from their dads. When really what is important? Are you satisfied that God will take care of you if you follow after God? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Today, we're living, I would say, at the tip of the iceberg, where that is starting to happen. We have a fourth of our people in our nation without fathers, fourth of our youth without fathers in the home. And I'm encouraging this small group of believers here this morning to take up the mantle and serve God, influence your children, reach to their hearts. And the way you do that is by living a life of holiness before them, forgiving others, loving your enemies, forsaking the big business deals, and being a pilgrim and stranger in the kingdom of God.